It was a dark and stormy night for Raw Talk, and yet Yo still found a way to make it in, to share with you good people about why you believe what you believe and challenge you, encourage you in your faith. And that's what we're going to do tonight here on Raw Talk. Welcome, I am Yo, and it is a dark and stormy night. It got crazy weather today. We actually went out to the pumpkin patch today. Not the best day to do that, by the way. It's a little bit windy, a little bit chilly. The kids, though, you know, they don't seem to care if the weather's bad. They just have a good time, so they're running all over the place, and I couldn't see them because there was so much dust blowing into my face that I was blinded by the sand, but still a good time was had by all. And so if I sneeze a little bit tonight, please forgive me. A mix of cold and, you know, being out in the middle of a pumpkin patch with a bunch of hay. I don't get along well with hay. Doesn't make for the best combination. Well, tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the spookiness that is Halloween, and we're going to take a look at it from a perspective of church history, try and figure out what to do with this holiday. I have with me Sean Weeks. Sean Weeks works at the School of Ministry, teaching church history, and also working on your master's.
Indeed.
Your master's, also in history, and so I appreciate your time tonight, Sean.
Righto. Glad to be here.
Well, Halloween, for me, is a very frustrating holiday. And I don't know if other people share in that frustration. Probably they might because of different reasons. But it's frustrating for me because it seems like Christians can never figure out what to do about it. And every October, we go into this tizzy. We get into this panic about should we not, do we, don't we, I don't know. And it just seems like everyone's just, you know, so disconcerted during October. And that's so frustrating to me. It seems like of all the holidays, this would be one that should be fairly clear-cut for us about what we could do with it. And I'll explain why I make that statement as we get towards the end of tonight's conversation. But it's one that every year, no matter what happens, people just go a little crazy about it. And the thing that I always thought was fascinating is when you compare it to holidays like Easter. Here is another holiday. You know, when you get to Halloween, everyone's like, oh, it's based on pagan stuff. We must have nothing to do with it. And you take a look at Easter, a lot of pagan traditions there. You know, the word Easter is even a pagan word. And it always cracks me up because, you know, Christians get all upset about that, so they start calling it Resurrection Day. Yet, you know, the rest of the world, all they know is that Easter is a Christian holiday when Jesus rose from the dead. And if they don't want to celebrate that, they celebrate bunnies, you know?
Bunnies, candy, eggs.
Right. But it has become solely identified as a Christian holiday. I mean, everyone knows that it is a spiritual holiday having something to do with Christian stuff. And you look at Halloween, very similar roots, and yet for some reason Christians can't figure out, you know, what to do with it. Should we redeem it? Should we leave it alone? Should we ignore it? You shared a little antecedents before we started tonight's show about how some people commemorate this holiday. Why don't you go ahead and share that, Sean?
Oh, righto. Anecdote of Halloween. I once had I still have this friend. I have a friend who their childhood was spent celebrating. Celebrating's an iffy word. Doing something special on Halloween. And that something special was turning off all the lights in the house, making sure the windows were closed and no one could see them, making sure that no one would get the idea that they were celebrating this devil's holiday. Then they would find the darkest room in the house with the least amount of windows and kind of sit there pretending they weren't home because, well, you know, they didn't want to participate in the devil's holiday.
Uh-huh. And that, for me, kind of represents, at least in my mind, something that, you know, Christians should never be known for is running and hiding.
I agree. I agree totally.
Now, taking a look at Halloween, Halloween is big business. Over $5 billion is going to be spent on Halloween this year. The average person is going to spend close to $65 per person on stuff for Halloween, including costumes and candy and decorations for the house. Have you noticed that house decorations are becoming big business for Halloween? Have you noticed?
Like, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I got scared when they had the giant Santas. It's kind of creepier when there's the giant goblins
Grim
or whatever.
Reaper.
Yeah,
Santas. Yeah, but they got like lights and all the stuff, basically all the stuff you can do for Christmas now.
It's an orange and black Christmas.
Yeah, it really is. We live on a block where a lot of people just go all out for their decorations for Halloween. But, you know, that's part of what people are going to spend it on. And 43% of people said they plan on carving pumpkins. Guilty. 47% said they plan on decorating their home. 47%. Man, that's a huge jump. I remember the day when no one decorated their house for Halloween.
Yep.
Back when I was in high school. And 28% said they're going to plan on hosting or attending a Halloween party. As a matter of fact, Halloween is now the number 3 party day of the year. Wow. You got New Year's and the Super Bowl are the only other two party days that people celebrate more. Now, it's not, you know, a traditional holiday. That's when people get together and have parties. So Halloween is big business, and the question still looms, what do we as Christians do about it? So, Sean, let's take a look at the history of Halloween. How did all of this get started, and how did the church get mixed up in it is kind of what we want to examine. But first of all, let's talk about, where does Halloween come from?
Okay. Halloween comes from actually a lot of different holidays, primarily Celtic pagan ones. The biggest, if you will, is one anglicized pronounced Samhain, properly pronounced Samhain or Samhain. Yeah, Gaelic is a weird language. Anyway, it was a harvest holiday that at the end of the season where everything was being harvested and all the fruits and whatevers were coming in, then people would celebrate kind of the shift of the seasons, the life turning into death, the, you know, light turning into darkness, and people were kind of exploring the mysterious spookiness that is that time of the year. So really, it was kind of a mishmash. Pope Gregory IV, in about 850, I think, had a policy of, when converting a place or when sending missionaries and working with churches in a place, if there was a holiday, he much preferred converting the holiday to telling them to quit celebrating because, well...
Which would be hard to do.
Which is very hard to do. People don't like to stop partying. So it's much easier to have them party for Jesus than to, you know, party for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of co-opted the holiday, which is exactly what had happened with Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And so really he did the same thing, and it became a celebration of All Saints Day, which is the day after Halloween. Often originally it was celebrated by not eating, so fasting and prayers. But
so no candy.
No candy, mm-hmm. Kind of anti-candy. You know, no food. And the thought was that the saints are coming out, and so you have this transitional time where, and this was co-opted from the pagan traditions, this was a night when perhaps demons would walk the earth, or sometimes it's called Pookie Night, because there's a ghost called a Pooka in Irish myth, and they're kind of these mischievous spirits that go around doing pooky things.
Okay.
Kind of like spooky, just minus the S.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, and the thing that I always thought that was fascinating about Halloween is it's this theme of life and death,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you think it'd be real easy for Christians to grab hold of that and use it to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And yet that's not often our response. Our response is often to just give up. Let's not have anything to do with it. And I think the part of the reason why I get so frustrated with that is when I look at the Bible and I see Jesus say, you know, this is the church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we put a little asterisk next to that and said, that's true, except in the month of October.
You know, yeah.
The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church, except, you know, October 31st. And then we'll just kind of gather behind our own gates and just let everyone else go wild. And I've never understood that. Now, the church, you know, you brought up All Saints Day and All mm-hmm. Saints Eve, All Hallows Eve. The church actually has a lot of history kind mm-hmm. of mixed in, you know, kind of interweaving with the history of Halloween. Why don't you take us through some of that history, you know, some of the church's own history with Halloween, like All Hallows Eve and some of those other traditions.
Okay. Well, the church is very fond of festivals, particularly in the Roman Catholic traditions, which why if you ever live in Germany, stay in the northwestern part, you get more holidays than anywhere else because they celebrate every single Catholic holiday.
Sweet, more presents.
Good stuff, indeed. So anyway, the Roman Catholic Church has a lot of holidays and a lot of saints' days. Right around that time was All Saints' Day, a day to celebrate all saints. You also have the Feast of St. Martin, I believe, occurs on the first or second day of November. And these days would be spent commemorating a specific saint or commemorating a specific event. And so because these events, the church had a calendar during which each of these events would occur and on them you would be celebrating or certain prayers would be said or something special for this day would happen. And so as part of celebrating this festival, they figured, hey, if it happens right around Halloween or whichever version of Halloween you were calling it, why not just mix the two? And this hasn't always been the case. Halloween is a fairly modern tradition, really, as things go. At least as we understand it, it wasn't celebrated in America until right around the turn of the 20th century, so around 1900.
Really?
Yeah. Previously, because of the lovely Puritan influence, pretty much no holidays were celebrated for a time, including Christmas, because it was, you know, idolatry and sin to celebrate. Well, and having fun was bad. At least, you know, if, as long as you were enjoying it, you know, enjoying it's the sin. So Halloween is actually a fairly new holiday, and the way that it's taking over the world, if you will, is really the Americanized tradition, which has started becoming more popular in the 1930s, 1940s, and really has exploded in the last 30, 40 years. And a lot of the world that celebrates Halloween now, celebrates it in a tradition that stems from this last 50 years of American Halloween. So that's why it's all about candy and trick-or-treat. Some of these come from earlier practices, like the Scottish had a practice of children walking around and having to actually perform a dance or a song or something like that. They would be dressed up in costumes, and they would go around and sing songs, dance for candy, and, you know, if they pleased with their performances, they got a small coin or a treat, a lolly.
A lolly. Now, let me ask you, why has the church been unsuccessful in co-opting Halloween like they did so many other, you know, holidays? Like we talked about Easter and Christmas. The church was very successful historically in changing those into celebrations for the church. And even, you know, today in our modern age, they're still very much, for the most part, Christian holidays, quote-unquote Christian holidays. And yet, you know, we see historically that the church tried to do the same with Halloween or All Hallows Eve or whatever. And yet, for whatever reason, our attempt to redeem it didn't take, as it were. So what was the problem? Why were we so successful with some of these other major holidays and not so successful with this one?
I think part of it was because the kind of co-opting of it happened a lot later in tradition. And another part of it is that the pagan tradition stuck around. So the reason Christmas and Easter are now Christian holidays is because, well, what's in a name? What's in a name? What's in a name is what people think is in a name. And so because Christmas became so powerfully spread as the birth of Jesus, it doesn't really matter, why Christmas used to be celebrated, because now when anyone says Christmas, everyone thinks birth of Christ or Easter. They think, oh, that's when Jesus was resurrected. With Halloween, for whatever reason, because the pagan tradition stuck around, because it became, maybe it's because there wasn't Jesus involved, so it wasn't as important a day as, you know, the birth or the resurrection of Christ. For whatever reason, it stuck around. Possibly also because of the association with demons and spooks, and because people are interested. There's a dark and spooky world out there, and people find it interesting and entertaining to examine it. And so I guess the thought of demons being out roaming in the night, and you get to carve a – actually, they used to carve turnips, not pumpkins.
That would be so much more difficult.
Yeah.
I couldn't really do that. I have enough trouble with a pumpkin.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, carrying around a turnip lantern or whatever, jack-o'-lanterns are actually from a fun little folk story, a little myth.
About a guy named Jack, right?
About a guy named Jack. Who there's a lot of different versions of the story, but basically the general story line runs something to the effect of Jack had cheated some money out of people because he was kind of not the best guy. and he was running away from them, and they were chasing him down, and the devil stopped him and was about to take him off to hell. And he was like, wait, I'll make you a deal in exchange for not eating my soul and sending me to hell, you know, giving me some, you know, for leaving me alone and leaving my soul alone. I'll give you these church followers. And he was like, all right, that sounds like a good deal. And so he had Satan transform himself into a coin. And he said, you know, when you transform into a coin, and then I'll pay you to the Christians, and then you can re-transform and disappear, and then they'll, like, start fighting each other over who stole the coin, and then they'll all go to hell, and you can win. And so Satan's like, that sounds like a good idea, and turned into a coin. So Jack threw him in his pouch, but he had a cross in his pouch, and that bound Satan's power. And so he bound up the demon and kind of ran away. Eventually the demon or Satan got loose and, still kept his end of the bargain, but then Jack died and couldn't go to heaven because God wouldn't have him, and couldn't go to hell because Satan promised not to, and thought it was more tormenting than, you know, to leave him halfway in limbo. And so Jack was blind and scared, and, oh no, where am I going? And so Satan was like, ha, fine, have a piece of hellfire, and threw him up a little piece of fire, and he became Jack of the Lantern because he was carrying around that little piece of fire to light his way.
That's very interesting. Well, if you got a comment that you'd like to make about this history of Halloween thing and what should we as Christians do about it, give us a call, 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. If you got a comment or question about this whole history of Halloween and what do we as Christians do about Halloween. So if you want to join in on the conversation, give us a call, 505-338-5790. You know, I've often wondered about that myself with Halloween. You know, there's no association with any specific event in Jesus' life, like with Christmas and Easter. But yet, going back to that theme of life and death, like I said, I mean, that's pretty much what all of Jesus' life was about. It was about a life and a death and a life. And that's pretty much what's celebrated around this time. You know, when you look at some of the traditions, you know, be it the harvest time, be it, you know, the changing of the seasons, be it all that type of stuff, it seems very easy to use these things to point towards Jesus Christ. And yet the church, despite early attempts, apparently gave up and became really reluctant in trying to use that.
Yeah.
Why do you think they just sort of gave up on trying to use these images that are so similar to what we see in the Bible for, you know, the gospel, when we're so successful doing that, you know, Valentine's Day, you know, all these other holidays, Thanksgiving Day, you know, all these events didn't have anything particular to do with Jesus Christ, and yet, you know, we turn them into very saintly days. So what's the deal? I mean, why is it so difficult when you have life, death, and life to do that with Halloween?
I think part of it is that Christians are scared or don't know what to do with it, or the concept of, you know, because summer turning into fall is the transition of life into death, and you have to wait until spring for it to turn into life again. So it's a really long time to be celebrating just the death aspect of Christ. And we already have a holiday for that, you know, a couple days before Easter. So, I mean, I think just for whatever reason, the church didn't use it. And they let the demons have it, if you will. And so, yeah, I don't know, man.
Now what happened, historically, from the perspective of the church, as you said, you know, Halloween, the way we celebrate it now, is very much a modern contrivance. So what was the church's involvement at that point? You know, you said that up until it started getting celebrated the way we do now, the Puritans didn't want anyone to celebrate. Well, what did the church do when some of these traditions became a part of culture? When, you know, you started having the trick-or-treats, and it, and people weren't treating it anymore as some sort of necessarily a spiritual time of the season, but seemed like they're having a day just to go out and have fun and get candy. Well, what was the church's stance on that? I mean, what did we see the quote-unquote modern church think about all that?
Honestly, for the most part, the church didn't really care. Halloween kind of got re-imported with the Irish massive wave of Irish immigration after the Irish potato famine. And that's kind of part of where the tradition came back from, or at least really kind of got going with it. And for the most part, especially the Roman Catholic Church, was like, meh, it's just some people walking around. I don't really care, whatever. And so they didn't seem to be too bothered about it. Most other churches, at the same time, in American tradition, it's not as associated with worship of the devil or worship of demons or whatnot. It became kind of a fun way to get treats or candy or whatever, because there's a lot of other little festivals, fall festivals, that kind of thing. And it became just another way to celebrate it. You got to bob for apples or bake little cakes or these kind of things. So for the most part, the church, kind of up until a lot of the modern fundamentalist movements, the church for the most part has been okay. And then it kind of seems that the original fundamental reaction was to pretend the church didn't exist or tell people they were in sin, or yeah, tell them the Halloween didn't exist, or tell them they were in sin if they were celebrating this demon night. If that didn't work, then a lot of times they would try to replace it. And this is a lot of what we're seeing now in modern churches is a lot of places will have a entirely unrelated to Halloween fall festival at which we give out candy. Mm-hmm. Or you can wear a costume. No, it has nothing to do with Halloween. You know, we'll put up orange and, you know, black banners. Nothing to do with Halloween, though. Just so you know, we're celebrating just fall and seasons, nature, God's goodness. And so, I don't know. Christians kind of gave up trying to take it over, to take it for Christ. And I think it's kind of sad because there's such an amazing opportunity for evangelism. Mm. If you've got 100 kids that come knock on your door, what an awesome opportunity to be a great witness for Christ. You know, how cool would it be if every kid in the block wanted to come to your house because you're the person who always gives out the super king-size candy bars? And, well, if they happen to have a Jesus sticker on them or a tract attached, well, you know, it's a king-size Snickers. Who cares? And so, you know, I mean, this is evangelism built into this holiday. And how awesome would it be to use it in that way? And I know that that's been done on an individual basis, but as far as church-wide, it's just never really integrated.
I just find it so fascinating that despite the history of the church with this event, you know, when you think about All Saints Day or All Hallows Eve, at least when I've looked at that, that seemed like a pretty cool thing to do. You know, to remember the saints who have come before, mm-hmm. not necessarily in the sense that, you know, I'd want to go around worshiping them or praying to them, but to remember, you know, the history that the church has with mm-hmm. the saints that have come before us and what they have accomplished and how they've helped the church progress. That seemed like a pretty cool thing to do. You know, people who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So mm-hmm. taking a look back at the historical church and the historical figures of the church seem like a good idea.
Yep.
But we don't see that practice very often around Halloween time. And I just always thought it was fascinating that despite some of these startup attempts, it just never panned out. If you got a comment or a question that you'd like to toss into tonight's conversation about Halloween, its history, and what should we do about it, give us a call, 505-338-5790. What do you think? Should we go stick our head in the sand? Which, by the way, ostriches don't do that to hide. They're actually looking for water.
Oh, okay.
Just to clarify.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd toss that in for free. But if you'd like to join us, 505-338-5790. Should we hide or should we use Halloween for spreading the gospel? Or should we pretend it doesn't exist and make up our own holiday? Or, you know, what should we do about this when we take a look at Halloween and the influence that it has on today's society? Give us a call, 505-338-5790. 5790. I've always thought it was interesting that you pointed out that sometimes churches do their own alternative events mm-hmm. where, you know, you can't wear bad costumes, but they say, wear costumes from the Bible. And I'm always thinking, man, there's some pretty scary costumes you can come up from the Bible.
Sure.
Yeah, you look through the book of Revelation, there's a whole there's a whole bunch of costumes right there.
You get in trouble just for saying some of the names in Revelation.
Exactly. And I always thought it was kind of interesting. Like, why do we think that when you say use the Bible for costumes, that automatically eliminates anything that would be of a violent, graphic, or otherwise evil nature? Because it's from the Bible, so that makes it nice.
Holy text. None of that in there.
Yeah, I've never understood that. And yet, you know, the funny thing is everyone knows exactly what the implication is. Oh, we can only come as Bible characters? Okay, well, I guess I'll, you know, be a nice little Mary, or I'll be one of the apostles.
Shepherd boy. Moses, Abraham.
Yeah, everyone understands the implication. I always thought it'd be interesting to see someone show up as John the Baptist with his head on a
head
silver
on a platter.
Yeah. Because that was in there, but not that I'm passing out costume ideas, you know, to rock the boat for anyone. I'm just thinking out loud. It's kind of interesting how when we say that they're only supposed to be Bible costumes, we always automatically assume that must mean just, you know, the ones that look like they belong underneath a rainbow with the bluebirds of happiness floating around. 505-338-5790 if you got a question or comment for tonight's conversation about Halloween. So, Sean, let me ask you, what should we do with Halloween? You know, we've talked a little bit about the history of it, you know, remembering the saints, the church trying to co-opt it because it's easier to do that than tell people not to celebrate something. And, well, what do we do now in today's modern era? What would you like to see the church do so far as this tradition of Halloween goes? What do you think would be most effective?
what I've always found to be most effective in ministry, and historically speaking, the ministries that have been the most powerful have first off always been the ones that prayed. So I think it would be awesome if the church started maybe in the beginning of October having prayer meetings and just praying and praying and praying and then culminating it with a celebration or a party. I mean, if Halloween now is the third biggest party day, why not jump right into the culture that we're in and throw the best, most amazing Halloween party and do it to the glory of God? Whether that's, you know, by mixing in the gospel, whether it's just by Christians being there and using it as an opportunity to witness to their friends, to be with their friends, to be a part of their culture and their community while still remaining shining lights. A light is amazing because it shines in the darkness. If you put a lamp under a bushel, what good is it, so to speak? So I think it would be awesome if Christians, by praying, would kind of power up their light, and then on the darkest night of the year, Halloween, when people are up to mischievous nonsense or whatever, to really shine the light and be that through churches throwing just the best and most amazing Halloween parties, or be that through handing out the best candy and passing out tracts along with it. I think really the best way for a Christian to co-opt the holiday is to just start celebrating it in a Christian manner. And if you want to make it about Christ, then make it about Christ. And I think this is something powerful that Christians can do. As I said, it's built in evangelism. You have kids coming to your door. You've got this holiday and people celebrate it whether you want them to or not. So why not be a part of the culture? Why not be a light in the darkness of the world? And in whatever way that you can see fit that works best with your church or works best with your community, celebrate to the glory of God and by the glory of God, for the glory of God.
Now, does it make any difference to change the name? I mean, when you have churches who want to do a harvest festival, even though they're really not bringing in a harvest, or people who do a fall festival, or, you know, they change the name of it. Does that really make any difference? I mean, when you look back at how the church tried to do some different names with mm-hmm. Halloween before, and, you know, those different names didn't really take. And, you know, are we really fooling anyone by saying, oh, we're doing a fall festival, it's not a Halloween party, even though it has all the same? What's in a name? Where does the name Halloween come from? And why are we as Christians so afraid of using that name?
Mm-hmm. I think the name Halloween actually came from a poem that someone came up with called Halloween or something like that. There's an apostrophe, which stands for a glottal stop. There you go, grammar. Nice. And a show. So the name really, all a name means, a name, words really are symbols. And a word once spoken is only understood insofar as it's understood by the person hearing it. So just because I say Halloween or I say Easter, what someone else hears is what they understand Halloween to be and what they understand Easter to be. So if the church really wanted to co-opt Halloween and make it a Christian holiday, they should start using the word Halloween. And as the approach of the church has been for the last however long, they want to deny Halloween, then, you know, you start calling it fall festivals and harvest times and hope that the rest of the culture forgets about Halloween. The problem that you run into that is, what if people start celebrating fall festival by dressing up in demon costumes and running around eating candy? Then really all you've solved is a name. And so if the heart of it, if the heart of Halloween is that people are worshiping Satan, the way to change it isn't by changing the name. The way to change it is by changing the holiday. And the only way I've ever seen, again, historically speaking, the only way I've ever seen a holiday change, the only way I've ever seen sinners repent, the only way I've ever seen a society change for the better in history has been when Christ has been there, and when Christ has been there in power, when people have gotten saved, when people have been overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, as happened in the Second Great Awakening with the Wesley brothers and George Whitefield. England's culture was turned upside down. Jails were actually emptied, were closing because there wasn't anyone to throw in them. And so in that same way, if we want Halloween to not be evil, if we want Halloween to be something we can celebrate as Christians, then we need to start celebrating it as Christians, or find some other way to make a culture forget.
You know, with the whole changing the name thing, one thing that comes to mind is that that hasn't really helped a whole lot with Easter. You know, once people started learning that, oh, Easter is a pagan word, well, then we can't use that anymore as Christians. We must change it then to Resurrection Day. And they've been trying to do this for several years now, and it just hasn't quite taken yet. Like, for a while, I heard a little spurt where a lot of teachers and preachers and radio programs called it Resurrection Day. And then that kind of fizzled out a little bit, and they just went back to Easter because that's what everyone was familiar with.
Yeah.
And besides, you know, most people associate Easter with Christ anyway. And it was probably just confusing the issue. And it seems like to be successful in co-opting Halloween, it would have to be the same thing. You start introducing, is it Harvest Festival or Fall Festival? Or is it Family Night? Or is it,
yeah, you
know, there's all these different names, and then, like I said, I don't know if that really fools anyone. I mean, we're still going out and commemorating the holiday, maybe by sitting in the darkest room with all the lights out and trying to pretend like we're not there and the whole evening's going to pass off like your friend does. Maybe it's by doing something at a church. Maybe it's by taking our kids trick-or-treating. Speaking of trick-or-treating, let's talk about this a little bit. What's the deal with trick-or-treating? Like, whenever I say, just in passing, not because I'm trying to annoy anyone or, you know, provoke anyone, but just in passing, in the course of a natural conversation might come out, oh, yeah, I took my kids trick-or-treating. You're right. A lot of people get really, you know, upset. How could you do that? You're warping your children's minds forever. You're destroying, you know, their future. How could you possibly ever consider damaging a young, fragile life like that by taking them trick-or-treating? Which, you know, at that point, I usually change the topic because, you know, I don't think it's worth fighting over. So I'll say, oh, man, crazy weather, huh? It's really windy and cold. It's wild. What's the deal with trick-or-treating? Where did that get started from? And again, why the extreme reaction today whenever people talk about it?
Again, it's part of it is it just kind of started. Again, it might have come from a Scottish tradition in which children would go around dancing or performing tricks for treats, for a lolly, you know, and that was part of it. And it just kind of became part of the tradition. Although different cultures celebrate it differently, a lot of times it's now becoming you trick-or-treat in designated areas only, or you only knock on the doors that have Halloween colors on them because otherwise, you know, people are afraid. And so, yeah, it's, trick-or-treating just came from a couple of different sources.
Where did the trick part of it come from? Because I've often heard people talking about the trick part of it and how that was, like, really bad stuff. Like, you'd have, you know, Wiccans going around or, you know, other types of getting ready to, you know, cast curses on people if they didn't do something for them. And, you know, all these wild stories about the trick part of trick-or-treats and people saying you shouldn't even, you know, joke about that, not even in passing go up to say trick-or-treat about someone because you don't know what the connotation is. So what is the connotation to the trick part of trick-or-treat?
The connotation for the trick part of trick-or-treat is really it can mean one of two things. One is that you're performing a trick for a treat, a trick in the positive sense of, hey, look what I can do. And then you, you know, stand on your head, you know, jump around three times, pat your head and rub your belly. Or it means you give me a treat or I play a trick on you. And that's usually the standard harmless pranks, if you
House
will.
TPing.
The TPing, egging, which is not quite so harmless because those things are a pain to get off.
Kool-Aid on the steps. Not that I've ever done any of this.
Sporking
heard about
lawns.
Sporking lawns.
Yeah. Never,
I've only heard about that as well.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah.
Do you think we should plead the fifth a little bit if we talk anymore?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, trick-or-treat really is just kind of a, yeah, it's like that. And a lot of people have taken Halloween night as a night to play pranks. And generally, they're the harmless pranks. Yeah, I mean, on the whole, it doesn't really mean anything. It means what we think it means nowadays. Because there isn't enough of a tradition behind it. There isn't this, well, trick-or-treat came from this, and it obviously means this, therefore this.
But some people say that.
I mean, the first introduction I had to Halloween was reading a trick tract that told me that jack-o'-lanterns came from druidic customs of stealing a virgin daughter and sacrificing her to pagan gods.
Right.
And they would leave a jack-o'-lantern in her place. That's not at all where jack-o'-lanterns came from. And they used pumpkins in this tract, and they didn't use pumpkins until it came to America. It should have been a carved turnip. And they wouldn't have used a carved turnip anyway, and there weren't druids sacrificing virgins, yada, yada, yada. So, frankly, I think a lot of this came from the fundamentalist reaction to the holiday. And the attempt to scare people. I mean, I don't know if they're still popular, but the hell houses that came up that Christians were doing, they would, oh, fine, you want to celebrate Satan? Well, let me show you what you get when you celebrate Satan. Hell.
They used to do those like about 3 or 5 years ago. Those were really popular. They had. I remember seeing a news item about one here in Albuquerque that was, you know, a big controversy, also because it mentioned AIDS in the hell house. And anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we have Angelique on the line. Angelique, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. Well, I had to say that I think it's okay for Christians to celebrate Halloween. Being myself, I'm a Gothic Christian, so, you know, I think the whole, like, dark stuff is cool, but if you have your head in the right place and all that, and you know that God will protect you from the demons and everything like that, and if you don't really believe that they'll hurt you, I don't think it'll be okay, you know, to go trick-or-treating or something like that. So.
Now, how do you think we can use Halloween in a positive way to share God with people, Angelique?
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes people get scared on Halloween, you know, they're always like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to get, like all scared and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, you can get together and pray before you go out somewhere and know that, you know, God's word will keep to, he'll keep to his word, and that he'll protect you, and that everything will be okay.
Well, that's certainly good advice. Do you do that with your friends before you go out and do anything on Halloween night?
No, but we like to hunt for ghosts, so we always pray before we do anything, so.
All right. Well, Angelique, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your comments tonight.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. If you got a comment that you'd like to share along with Angelique, give us a call, 505-338-5790. And let me just say about, you know, calling in for tonight's program, usually when I do a program on Halloween, the following day is when I get emails or I get calls with people saying, oh, well, you didn't talk about this, or I can't believe that you said this, or, you know, and I appreciate people's comments, but the day after a Raw Talk doesn't do me a lot of good. If you really want to express your opinion, it's better to call into the program and then we can discuss it. Because usually when I get emails like that, I usually just say, well, thanks for your comment. I wish you would have called in and appreciate you listening. I mean, the dialogue is over. So if you really have something that you'd like to share about this topic of Halloween, give us a call tonight. Don't wait until tomorrow to call in or send an email. Just give us a call tonight, 505-338-5790, and let's talk about it. Because, like I said, this is a holiday that really frustrates me, and I wish it didn't, because there's a lot of fun to be had anytime there's a holiday. But I'd like some clarification on exactly what kind of fun I'm allowed to have. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. We have Austin on the line. Austin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I would just like to say that I think Halloween is great and everything. I just think it's how you look at it. I think if you take it as the evil perspective, then it's wrong. My church, we do something called Truck and Treat, and we go around and in our parking lot open up our trunks and just, like, have kids come on by. And I think, you know, trick-or-treating is great. I don't think that people should get all into it and just get self-absorbed into the Halloween aspect, but I think it's fine.
Now, let me get this straight. You give candy out of the trunk of your car.
Yeah, what we do is we just kind of open up our trunks and we just have, like, little festival games out in our parking lot. And neighborhood kids come on by, and it's just a great way to minister to them.
The last time someone tried to give me something out of the trunk of their car, I was in a Walmart parking lot, and it was some sort of cologne, and I was pretty sure I didn't want to get
that. Yeah, well, you know, we just make it very welcoming. We have our lights on and everything, and we have hot dogs and popcorn and everything, and we just,
that's cool.
I don't know. I think it just depends on how you take Halloween, and I think it's just like if you go to a party, if there's going to be drugs and whatever, if you're going to get into that stuff, then you don't go there. And if you really feel the temptation to get into some bad stuff during Halloween, then just don't do it.
Well, I think that's good advice. Thanks, Austin, for calling in. I appreciate you sharing tonight, all right?
Thank you.
All right, take care. Next, we have Natalie on the line. Natalie, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Natalie?
Well, I know that you were talking about Halloween and saying that the world's made it a holiday.
Uh-huh.
But it can't really be a holiday, considering that holiday means holy day. And since they're pretty much worshiping Satan, then it's not really a holiday. I like to call it an occasion, but, I mean, and, well, my church, we get together and we get bags, and we fill them with a tract and some candy and a label, and the candy means certain things, like verses in the Bible.
Mm.
And we hand them out to the community, and...
Well, that's very cool, Natalie. Now, Sean, do you have something that you want to comment on the holy day comment?
I'm sorry. This stems from me being a ridiculous nerd knowing way too many languages.
Why I asked you to be on the program, because the intelligence quotient had to go up for this program, and that's why I needed you here.
The word holy comes from the Greek stem hagios, which means set apart. And really, for a day to be considered holy, and this is actually a great example of when you say one word and it means multiple things. Holy means set apart, and this is a day that's set apart. Unfortunately, it's usually a day set apart for secular reasons or by secular reasons or for the worship of the devil. And I think that's tragic. And I think, like you're talking about, you know, if you're giving out candy, you know, with tracts, or if you're doing things with your church, you know, I think it would be awesome if we took this and actually made it a holy in the Christian sense, as in that which glorifies God. But it is a day set apart, whether we like it to be or not. So it'd be great if it turned into a proper holy day.
Well, thanks so much for your comment, Natalie. I appreciate you calling in tonight, all right?
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Next up, we have Allison on the line. Allison, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hello, I was just listening, and I heard a couple things that were said about how Halloween, there's, I guess, I don't remember what the girl's name was that came on, and she said that she went out and you had asked her what she could do to try and make it sort of better for Christians to go out. If you do go out and trick-or-treat, maybe instead of just going on trick-or-treating, you can go door-to-door and hand maybe a little scripture or something, and just kind of just go out and try and get people to understand the true meaning of what Halloween should be about, instead of going out and trying to worship the devil or whatever some people believe. Instead of that, trying to bring people to Christ.
And how do you go about doing that, Allison, when Halloween rolls around?
Well, normally, we actually just started a church, and it's our first year having to deal with Halloween, and we're holding a kind of a harvest fest to try to bring people in. We're inviting friends, we're inviting family to just kind of come and see what God's really about. We have plays, we have the kids get free candy, they can come and bring their little pumpkins, containers, give out candy. There's games. There's a short message. We just try and reach out to the community.
What's the name of your church, Allison?
It's the New Harvest, Calvary's New Harvest Christian Fellowship in Las Lunas, New Mexico.
Oh, well, very cool, Allison. Thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate you adding to tonight's conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a great evening.
You too.
You know, one of the things that Allison said that kind of stems or causes some of my frustration is, you know, she said this is our first time to handle Halloween, to you know, deal with it. Very often when you hear Christians talking about Halloween, you hear very defensive language. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to, you know, what Jesus said, that, you know, when it comes to the church, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. And that just seems true, except for this day when we are the ones who start hiding behind our gates instead of trying to tear down the gates of the enemy. And I just find that so interesting. There's such a defensive mentality when it comes to this particular holiday.
Indeed.
My wife actually had a really interesting idea for sometime perhaps decorating our house, making it a graveyard but on all the tombstones you have scriptures about how death has lost its power and how we can enjoy life. And so it'd be like an empty graveyard. There'd be headstones, but with all these scriptures, the point would be there's no one there because Jesus Christ overcame death. And, you know, you kind of make it look like the little spooky blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, when you look at it, like, this isn't what I would be expecting. I thought it was a brilliant idea. She was always afraid to do it because she was afraid she'd be ostracized from the church for doing something like that. And depending on what church, you know, we were going to at the time, it could have been true. We have Bernadette on the line. Bernadette, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say about this whole topic of Halloween?
Well, what I was wondering is you guys were talking about, like, paganism and stuff and where Halloween stemmed from, but you guys haven't touched on anything that's going on today, like, as far as, like, Satanism and the stuff that they practice today.
Well, that's a good point. I was going to bring that up after we got through some of our calls. You know, we had a former Wiccan on last time, last year, I should say, last time that we discussed this topic. And it was very interesting because one of the things that she pointed out is that on the actual day of Halloween, everyone thinks that's when all these evil satanic practices are happening. But the fact of the matter is they've kind of given up on doing that because it's become such a commercial day. Mm-hmm. They really can't find the peace and quiet to go out and do that. So despite the reputation, a lot of that doesn't necessarily happen on Halloween. Do you have anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, on the whole, Halloween really has become a commercial holiday more than anything else. It's celebrated by buying costumes, dressing up, buying candy, and that sort of thing. It used to be, to a certain extent, considered one of the high holy days of ancient paganism. But one of the things I've noticed in my studies and in working with people that consider themselves neo-pagans or, you know, modern pagans or Wiccans, most of them don't really do things that Christians think they do. There's not a whole lot of sacrificing cats and, you know, doing all kinds of horrible blood-drinking creepy sacrifices, mostly because modern culture finds those things creepy. And a lot of the paganism movements are really stemmed out of modern culture. And so a lot of that stuff is toned down. And does that mean that there aren't people, still doing wicked and evil things on Halloween? No, but I think it means the numbers are just vastly, overestimated in Christendom. And I think, honestly, a lot of that is the fault of Christians. As Yo is saying, that Christians being on the defensive, they're so afraid of Halloween, the devil's night, and really it's not. It's a night that's celebrated, and it's a night that people sin just like every other night. And this one just has more of a reputation. Nowadays it's more commercial than anything else. So I think the best way to celebrate is just to glorify God in it.
I would think that if that type of stuff was actually happening on Halloween, it'd be bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience, this is just my own personal experience, all right? This isn't based on laboratory studies or, you know, anything like that. Often the things that I've heard, oh, yeah, I know some people do this on Halloween. I hear it's just stories. It's urban legends.
Mm-hmm.
It's myths that people spin off. It's ghost stories that become part of the tradition of this time of year.
And another thing to tack onto that, even the stories of, you know, children finding needles in their candy or, you know, razor blades and candied apples that they were given. There's been some research, like actual research done into those, and the numbers were just phenomenally low. And a lot of times the worst cases were parents doing it to their own children or children doing it themselves to get attention. So kind of in that same way, sometimes, very, very rarely does this happen, and usually it has less to do with worshiping Satan. Well, I don't know. I suppose being a horrible parent is kind of a worship of Satan. A lot of times it's self-caused more than devil worship.
Well, it's a good point that it does happen, and certainly, but even if it was happening, still the point is Christians should take a stand and not run and hide. Does that help answer that a little bit for you, Bernadette?
Yeah, it does.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. All right. Next up, we have Janine on the line. Janine, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
This has been a hard topic for me for a long time. I'm about 27, and before I got saved, I did a lot of things that I don't know, would constitute as seeing witchcraft more than what I think the church realizes is happening. And now that I'm pregnant, I'm listening to you guys, and this whole season has been hard for me because I didn't carve pumpkins, I didn't have anything. And now I'm trying to find an honest balance because I have the church mock me, actually, and ridicule me for my convictions. But I think that it's difficult because I don't want to decorate with ghosts or goblins or anything that I consider evil, you know, and people say with the whole pumpkin theme, is it idolatry? And my husband's helped me to see that it's quite not, but I was just listening, and at first I was disappointed with you guys because it seemed like what they said earlier, that you just had a light tune, and I just think that the church needs to be sensitive that there are very demonic things that happen on Halloween.
Mm.
But to find the balance of sorry, that's my dog.
That's okay.
She likes to fun. She likes to bark when I'm on the phone. So embarrassed. But I think we just have to be sensitive to the fact that how do we do handle this in the day? I don't think we should hide. I don't think we should be afraid. When my child gets older, will I let her or him go Halloween or go outside for trick-or-treating? I don't know, because the world is so scary. But I just think we shouldn't hide, but I think we do need to be sensitive to the people that are sensitive to this season, that do feel and have experienced demonic experiences, to acknowledge that they're real and not something that should necessarily be mocked, and just say, oh, quit hiding and quit being afraid, but to help us find a balance between the season and not.
Well, you know, and that's actually a great point that I'm glad you brought up. Like I said, when we talked about this last year, you know, one of the things was brought up was this very issue. And for my guest last year, she was saying she won't have anything to do with this because she knows how vulnerable she can be to her former life. And you bring up an excellent point that regardless of what your opinion about this holiday is, we have to be considerate of our fellow believers. Like Romans 14:1 says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. I think that pretty much sums up what the whole debate about Halloween is. It's a disputable matter. It's not an essential to being saved, but it's certainly a matter that is important to our walk with Christ. And the important thing is that we accept people, no matter what their convictions are on this, and do so without passing judgment. I think one thing that has become very associated with Halloween is judgment.
Mm.
Regardless of what a person's opinion is, pro or con, there's always a lot of judgment from the church on that person's opinion. And again, it doesn't, that's the thing that's always confused me. It doesn't matter if you're pro or if you're con, someone in the church will find something to judge you about on that, regardless of what your stance is. Thank you for bringing up a very important point, Janine. I appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk with Aaron, and we got about 5 minutes left, Aaron. So if you can kind of sum it up really quick, what do you got on your heart tonight?
Well, yes, I'm still looking it up in the Bible, trying to find it in Acts when Paul goes to speak in Athens.
Uh-huh.
And he starts to preach out in the open, and all the philosophers grab him and say, hey, come on, come over to the spot where we hang out and talk philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear your new doctrine. And they're calling him a seed picker, country bumpkin sort of guy. And he goes, and the first thing he does is he points out that he's been listening to them, that he's been paying attention to their culture. He says, and I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't found it yet, but he says, I've looked around your culture, I've looked around the city, and I see that you are all very religious. To say they're very religious is almost an understatement, because there were more gods there than there were people. And he said, you're so religious, I've even seen an altar to an unknown god. Well, I bring you that unknown god. And then he preached the cross to them. I think perhaps you were asking, you know, what can we do to reach our culture? Perhaps the first thing to do is listen. Pay attention. Why does everybody love dressing up so much? What exactly is the big deal about Halloween? It's the biggest commercial holiday of the year. I don't know how it ranks next to Christmas, but it's major. We all go out, we buy costumes, we spend tons of money trying to get just the right look, trying to set up our haunted houses and our decorations and so on. What's the big deal? Why is everybody so into it? If we can answer that, if we can actually search for men's hearts, try to see them the way God does, then we can actually reach people.
Well, that's a good point, Aaron. Thanks so much for calling in tonight. Appreciate you adding to tonight's conversation.
You have a good night.
All right, you too. Were you going to say something there? No? All right, let's try and get Vicky in real quick. Vicky, we got just a few minutes left, so if you can make your comment real quick, what's on your heart tonight?
I just want to say that this generation is such a blessing because when I was in school, I never heard about Jesus. I never heard anything about Jesus. This generation now, the kids are bold. They want to get out. They want to do things. They want to share the word. I go to the same church that Natalie goes to. We go out on Halloween, and we take the truth out, and we share it with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face, and the kids are so excited to do it. And I just think it's such a blessing. And I'm just so thankful that we don't have the same generation that we did in my time that sat back and let abortion be passed and let prayer be taken out of school. And it's just so wonderful to see the Lord working, and I'm just so thankful for it.
Well, thank you so much for that comment, Vicky. I'm sure that was a big encouragement to especially a lot of young people who are listening tonight. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, when Aaron was talking about if we can figure out why people want to do all this stuff on Halloween, I mean, I think I could sum that up pretty easy for you. It's fun. People have a good time with it. You know, before the program was talking about, you and I were talking about, it's fun. And, people are fascinated with evil. We're actually going to talk about that next week with Steve Russo. We're going to talk about the culture's fascination with evil and what we as Christians should do about that. But, the fact is people are fascinated by it. And the Bible even says it's fun for a season. And now we know what that season is. It's the season of Halloween. That's a joke, by the way. All right. So don't get too upset about that. Any other closing comments you want to share there, Sean?
Just to kind of sum up, as Jeanine brought out, there is stuff that happens on Halloween. And so the most important thing isn't to consider this the devil's night or not. The most important thing to consider is how can you best glorify Christ? How can you, in celebrating or not celebrating Halloween, how can you, in doing what you do on this night, glorify God to your utmost and to the greatest of your ability, and be that through having a big party and having, passing out candy to kids and tracts and having a gospel message, or passing out candy bars to children that come to your house, or kind of whatever you do. It's in the scripture, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think that applies just as much to Halloween as it does to every other day of our lives.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season." And the reason that verse came to my mind is because it seems like once we get to the Halloween season, we're not so much concerned with preaching the word or being ready to share with people the hope that we have, as it says in 1 Peter, that we'd rather just try and figure out how to survive. And yes, there's evil stuff that happens on Halloween night. There's evil stuff that happens every day. Have you checked the news recently? There is terrible things that go on in the world every day. The point is that we as Christians need to be willing to take a stand, regardless of what the day is, be it Halloween or be it, August 22nd. Whatever the day is, we need to be ready to preach the word in season and out of season, to share with people the reason for the hope that we have. And that is our calling as Christians, and that doesn't change on October 31st. At least that's my opinion. And I know that's one of those things that is left up to debate. And, a lot of people use Romans 14 to kind of try and avoid a fight. Oh, Romans 14, whatever. And I don't want to be a person who's like that. I want to make sure that I don't cause other young Christians to stumble. But at the same time, I don't want to use the whole Romans 14 to be an excuse to be inactive, to decide, well, I'll just sit this one out. Romans 14, we'll believe something different and we'll both just sit on the sidelines. Well, then the enemy wins anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you got something out of tonight's conversation. Sean Weeks, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It was very enlightening. I learned grammar. I learned history. Learned quite a bit.
There you go.
I appreciate you helping to increase the intelligence quotient of the show. It helps out every now and then. Next week, Steve Russo is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about Fear No Evil? He just put out a new book. I've read about two-thirds of it already. Very fascinating look at why people are fascinated with evil and how that can be so alluring and tempting and cause a downfall, and at the same time how we as Christians can take a stand against it. And very important, regardless of what the day is. So I hope you'll join me next week for a very special guest, Steve Russo. Not that you weren't a very special guest, by the way, Sean.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being here. But
I can even say tongue twisters.
Yeah, well.
Remember Baby Buggy Bumpers.
I was going to say, we'll say that for next time, but
okay,
now you've ruined it.
Sorry.
Thanks for joining us for Rod Talk tonight. Hope you have a great evening in the Lord.